You're listening to Cannabis Business Confidential by Hybrid Marketing Co. Our podcast explores every corner of the cannabis industry with expert guests for a behind-the-scenes look at this rapidly evolving space. From business insights to cultural and community trends, we'll ensure you stay informed and ahead of the curve.
So we are in the thick of summer, longer, hotter, hopefully lazier days, unless you're a THC beverage brand in Texas. The category has been hard at work to sink a statewide ban on the sale of THC products within the state, and with great success, I might add, but not without some drama within the larger, and I'll even say local, hemp community. All good fodder for today's conversation with a gentleman from one of the Lone Star State's most prominent beverage brands, Joel Canada, CRO at Bayou City Hemp Company, co-creator of Howdy. I've so been looking forward to chatting and catching up with you. You guys have been on a significant roller coaster, I'll say. And I know you've been incredibly busy. So thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
Of course. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, Jen.
Yeah. So when we first met, you guys were, of course, coming to the table as Bayou City Hemp. There was some partnerships in place, baking and cooking. Where you've landed now is quite different from when we first started chatting. So give us a sense of what you set out to do and where you've landed thus far.
Yeah, absolutely. I should probably give a little bit of background on Bayou City and who we are, because it's a little bit more complex than some of our counterparts in the industry. We started really as a co-manufacturer in the hemp space in general. So we were making anything that involved hemp as an ingredient. We would manufacture that as a white label partner for other brands in the industry. When I came to Bayou City, it was mostly because of my interest in beverage. And so I had seen a lot of these CBD brands sort of blowing up, and THC was not yet a thing. But pretty shortly after I joined, we collaborated with a brewery out of Houston called Eighth Wonder, a very well-known brewery in the craft beer space. And we collaborated with them on the first ever THC beverage to be produced in Texas. Almost immediately, it took off. I think we sold out of the first production run within 2 hours of announcing it on Instagram. We had it on tap at the bar right away. And we saw that we had captured lightning in a bottle. And so at that point, we started to shift our focus to our own beverage brands, sort of continuing to collaborate with the Eighth Wonder guys for a period. And then ultimately we acquired the brewery in order to really own the full vertical. And so the vision there was to be a vertically integrated cannabis company. We wanted to really differentiate ourselves in that way. And also, having spent 10 years prior in the beverage industry, I really understood how beneficial it could be to really own the supply chain and the manufacturing of your own products, especially in such a new space where, like THC, where there's really not many people who know how to create these products and make them so that they're compliant and safe for the consumer and also effective. You know, there's some issues around emulsion and things like that. Having come from the hemp space on the Bayou City side and having really mastered that emulsion, we have a proprietary emulsion process that we're really proud of, and I think is a big differentiator for us as well. And then with the expertise of some of us had in beverage, and also the Eighth Wonder guys at the brewery, the vision was to put something together that would allow us to create some really incredible brands and be category leaders in the space. And so I think at that time, the broader vision was always to introduce these low dose THC beverage products to the broader consumer and ultimately land on shelves in these traditional sales channels and like really create a legitimate category. I mean, I think from the very beginning, that's what we wanted to do. We were a long ways out from that. At that point, you know, there were no really kind of legitimate like alcohol distributors in the country that were carrying THC beverages. At the time, there were a few craft beer distributors carrying CBD that I was aware of. But, you know, it was brand new, you know, so we kind of wrote on a piece of paper somewhere, I'm sure we could find it, that our goal was to be for Texas available at HEB, Bucky's, and Specs. Mm-hmm. We're at Specs today, and we're doing really well, and they're a great partner, and so we're chipping away at that list of goals. But you know, along the way, there's been smaller milestones that we've sort of gone after, and the first one was really to get these products into distribution with an alcohol distributor, so that we could grow our footprint and manage it. And so we found a really small craft beer distributor that was willing to take a bet and introduce the category to their customers, and it's just kind of gone from there. Now we're available in 20 states and we're moving.
Wow. Wild. It's so wild, but awesome. As far as you know, being kind of at the forefront of introducing a low dose beverage to consumers, particularly in the Texas market, how were you guys received in the beginning? I'm curious to know how you're received now.
Yeah, I think in the beginning, I think the consumer always really kind of understood what we were doing. What our challenge was from the beginning, I mean, there's some promotional things you had to do on site and, you know, at the accounts to activate the products and kind of do some educational stuff, but the consumer gets it pretty quick. In the beginning, it was really convincing the retail accounts and the distributors to get on board. So we spent a lot of money having our attorneys sit in on those meetings and kind of help everybody to feel comfortable. And you know, we were working really hard to legitimize the category and, you know, treat it like a traditional consumer packaged goods company, where we had our pitch decks and our promotional plans and you know, our quantity discounts and all of these things, just to kind of show that we understood beverage and we understood what it meant to bring new products to market. And so there was a lot of that in the beginning. And I think what's happening now is us and probably a lot of the other brands in the space are in a position where you get to choose between your distributors. You go into a new territory and you have three or four beer distributors to choose from, because the demand is just so high for these products. And so that's been a huge shift that we've seen in a pretty short amount of time in this category, where we were sort of begging accounts and distributors to take a chance in the very beginning. And now we have choices of who to partner with. So that's been really huge.
Yeah. That's where Senate, the, you know, the conversation around Senate Bill 3 sort of felt, I don't know, shocking, not shocking in a lot of different ways. Of course, those of us who are proponents of THC beverage, we've been picking up the phone and picking up our pen, signing petitions, writing letters, sending emails. But you guys, with kind of boots on the ground in Texas, what did that effort look like for you guys?
You know, it was, we put forth a lot of effort. It was really important to us, obviously, for obvious reasons. We had a lot at stake. You know, we Bayou City Hemp Company is located in Houston, Texas. We manufacture our products ourselves in Houston at our facilities. And so this ban would have really stopped all that, because not only was it banning the sale of THC products in the state of Texas, it was banning the manufacturing as well. And so, you know, we had our business on the line and our employees and so we had a lot at stake, but, even more than that, more importantly, there were 50,000 jobs in the hemp industry on the line in the state of Texas. You know, people, this has really become a true legitimate industry in the state. And so, you know, it's an $8 billion industry, I think, today in the state of Texas. So that's huge. And so we've taken it very seriously for many, many months. We've had lobbyists out there sort of pushing our message and making sure that it got in front of the right people, and was articulated in the right way. We've had a lot of support from the broader community, our friends outside of the state of Texas, brands from all over the place have pitched in to sort of help push through and make sure the message was heard correctly. Partners like Specs, Texas Package Store Association, you know, Total Wine, the Hemp Roundtable. There were a lot of people that were, really supportive during the process. And so, and not to mention Texans. I mean, I think Texans really came through in a big way. I think you mentioned the petitions. I think there were over 100,000 petitions signed and delivered directly to the governor's office, kind of in a, you know, theatrics a little bit, but I think it worked. I really truly believe that that went a long way to influence his decision ultimately.
Yeah. Well, when Governor Abbott vetoed Senate Bill 3 last month, you said he sent a powerful message to the Texas legislature, specific to blanket bans, really. Let's dig in there. Like what specifically do you think that message entailed?
I think he outright said, Texans do not want prohibition. They want regulation. You know, Texas is a pretty pro-business state. And I think it was made really clear to him that, that we have a legitimate industry that, that could potentially be completely crushed by, a bill like this. And so, to me, that was really obvious, but more than that, I think also Governor Abbott said this, that it's unconstitutional. I mean, we're selling federally legal products in the state of Texas, and there are regulations in place. Now, from Bayou City's standpoint, we would like those regulations to be deeper. And we do think that there's a difference between low dose products and high dose products, and that there's a compromise in states that have medical programs or recreational programs and things like that. But yeah, I mean, to your point, ultimately his message was super, super clear. People want regulation, not a blanket ban. We do not want to live in a nanny state. You know, we're a pro-business state in Texas.
Sure. Well, and it feels like even beyond that conversation, I think where it started to get a little bit sticky, when we think about House Bill 28, authored by Chairman King, I think what's being called, or yeah, I think that's the right way to say it, a carve out, because it would specifically would have banned gummies, let's say edibles. Your CEO and co-founder, Ben Meggs, described it as not the perfect solution, but a step in the right direction. And I think he said with a few tweaks is something that the industry could live with. But then we saw, you know, kind of, I would say, infighting within the Texas market, where you guys specifically, you know, were talking about as a solution for, you know, you've got some folks saying this is a carve out, like you're not representing the full industry. But I'm so curious to get your take on what that means. If there's, you know, when you're coming to the table with a low dose product versus what we see in the hemp derived intoxicant market, where, you know, an unregulated business is trying to sell, let's say, a 400 milligram gummy that you can buy online to teens. So there's this large, I don't know, there's a large spectrum of what can be available. So I don't necessarily think it's fair to call it a carve out, but I'd love to kind of get your perspective on how you guys responded there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I won't speak for Ben, you know, and I could, what I can say is that I think, you know, Ben mentioned it's a step in the right direction. And I think what he meant by that was that there has to be compromise when, you know, something's as big as an entire industry is at stake, like it was during this legislative session. And so, I think the introduction of that bill is going to continue to sort of reverberate into special session, which is ultimately going to work in everyone's favor, right? Like, we feel pretty confident that this next special session, which starts July 21st, is going to be focused on looking at that regulatory framework that was set forth in HB 28 and tweaking it, so that it makes sense for all of us. And we are heavily involved, as we were in the regular session, to make sure that, you know, our message continues to be pushed in that session. And we think that there will be a healthy compromise that comes out of it.
Right. All in the name of consumer safety. I think that's what we, you know, that's what we, at the end of the day, that's what we're talking about. We don't want access for our children and, you know, for anyone to have this, a high dose product that you can't get in the regulated market. Like, why should that be allowed in the unregulated market?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of success in those states that have regulated and put potency caps on these products and really defined the low dose beverage space Which makes more sense to the consumer. They sort of understand that in the same way that they understand light beer, and it's being sold alongside these products. And so I think it's important to make that differentiation when you're launching a new category that does require quite a lot of education. Anything we can do to make that more clear, whether it be in the packaging of the products or, you know, some regulations around the potency and what that product can do, I think is important.
Sure. Well, we see, you know, we work with folks on the hemp side as well as in the regulated market. And we have that conversation a lot on the regulated side. It's, you know, those products that are high dose, 100 milligram, you know, if it's a gummy, whatever that looks like, even beyond that, right. you think about it the same way that you would go to a nice restaurant, have a glass of wine with dinner versus like, you're not ordering a glass of like Everclear. So, do you, you know, it's a different, and I know there's a tolerance level to be.
And I think it's also, you know, there's a way to regulate or make call outs, you know, in terms of the format of the beverage and things like that. Prior to recently, some legislation went into effect in Louisiana, as an example, where they did put a 5 milligram cap on these beverages. But prior to that, I was out in the market. We've been selling in that market with our current products at 5 milligrams for over a year now. I remember being at Rouse's grocery store and seeing 100 milligram tea on the shelf in a bottle that, you know, that a consumer could purchase that, assuming and trusting that, you know, these retailers are selling something that makes sense. And I think part of it is just education on the brand's part. But that could turn somebody off the category forever, you know? And so we want to create something and put something on the shelf that is going to, you know, produce return customers and really work towards expanding the category and not hurting it.
Yeah, for sure. So with Howdy in particular, so you guys have 5 and 10 milligram canned beverages, and as a born and bred fellow Texan, I have to say sweet tea is my favorite so far. But now you have cinnamon spirits, and it doesn't sound like you'll be digging in. Those are also 5 and 10 milligram servings within those bottles as well. So it doesn't sound like you'll go beyond low dose.
No, we have no plans to. I mean, I think part of our mission, especially for the Howdy brand, is to promote low-dose beverages and sessionability and responsible consumption and all of those things. And so any product we put out is going to be tied to that mission. And so that's why, you know, we do have a larger format. We have a 750 milliliter bottle of Howdy Hooch, that the black label Hooch is 170 milligrams. And so, but it's meant to be consumed in shots, you know, and so that's a 10-ounce shot or a 5-ounce shot for the white label. So I think we're pretty adamant on sticking to that mission statement that we want to promote sessionability. We want it to be, you know, responsibly consumed. And so we have no plans to go into the 50 milligram cans or anything like that.
Sure. I think sometimes what we see on the higher dosage beverages, what we hear brands say as well, we've got to make a buck. And that's where, you know, when you talk about when you're mission aligned, that creates the guardrails for you, but it's hard. It's hard if you're looking at a brand that may or may not exist in the next 6 months. And so with you guys, I think what you've done so well is not only been really clear on who you are, and where you want to go, but you've really taken the time and effort to build a pretty solid brand. I mean, we see the market flooded with folks who are here for the quick buck, who don't invest in building the brand. They're going to make as much as they can, without really this long-term vision, not only for the category, but for, you know, for beverage, THC beverage in general.
I mean, I think from the very beginning, we've sort of seen ourselves as stewards of the industry and you know, category leaders. And so we had to kind of, you know, one, we really believe in that mission statement that we should be producing low dose beverages that support sessionability and responsible consumption. I think it's the right way to introduce these products to the broader sort of mainstream consumer. I think it's, we feel pretty strongly about that, but that's just for us. We can't speak for anybody else. And, I think it's important to, for your brands to be driven by, a mission and a goal. And we also have a big infrastructure. You know, we've been looking at the long-term for since the beginning, because we are vertically integrated. We've got, as I mentioned, we're building out a 50,000 square foot facility on 4 acres right now to meet the demand of our products. And so I think, we found our consumer and we know that they're out there. We've been out in these other markets outside of Texas for some time now too. And so I think that's part of the specifically for Howdy, that's part of the brand identity.
Sure. Well, it's worked and working for you guys. From your perspective, what has THC beverage done as a category to help itself and to hurt itself? I think this kind of leans into, we've covered some of it, like with the dosage, but what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts there?
I think I've been really impressed at everyone that's involved in the category to be able to come together and create these like coalitions and associations. And I think that those associations have gone a really long way to promote the category responsibly and make a lot of progress on legitimizing what we do. I mean, I've never been part of a community that was so focused on really driving their message, and both at the legislative level, but also like within the retail industry and, sort of the broader consumer packaged goods industry. So I think I'm really impressed with that, and that we've been able to come together and really push the category forward together, unified. I've not seen that in other industries very often. And so I think that's really cool. In terms of what we've done to hurt the industry, I think it's the bad actors and people that you mentioned earlier that are really in it to make a buck and don't really have a long-term plan, and are maybe jumping on trends too quickly or increasing the potencies to the 50s or the 100s and putting them out in market because to make a quick buck. I mean, but you're always going to see that, and that can be corrected with responsible and common sense legislation and regulation, which we're always behind.
Sure. Well, and having that long-term goal and strategy, that builds into your strategy, that then builds into how you operate a business. And I feel like without what we see on both the regulated side and the hemp side is, without having a clear vision of what you came here to do, it's really hard to stay on track because you haven't really built that pathway. So that's, again, like, that's why I say it's so much fun to watch you guys. Cause in our early conversations, you were very bullish about what you were doing and where you were going, and to see that materialize in so many ways is really exciting. And I think it does speak to the category when you talk about what we've done right as a category, kind of locking arms, because at the end of the day, you're creating shelf space collectively. And the more, solid competitors you have, like you very much need for there to be a lot of great beverages out in the space, because the mountain you're trying to move is much bigger than what we would see, for example, like in a regulated edibles category or something like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, we want to create choices for consumers. We want to, we want to have competitors that are true competitors and making products that we can sit next to and compete with. But all at the end of the day, it really just drives the category forward, because we are wanting to see that THC beverage space expand at the Specs and Total Wine and Winn-Dixie and wherever else. And I think the more legitimate players that are involved in really creating good products and competing in terms of like promotional activity, and that just further drives the category and gives us more opportunity to sort of merge into that broader CPG community and become part of the conversation. So I think that's really important.
Well, even just the notion of HEB, and for those who aren't from Texas, I mean, it's such an immense organization that does so right by the state of Texas. I mean, you can you know, not even just as a grocery store, but how we've seen them show up throughout the decades in support of Texans, for them to be behind that movement would send an even larger message to the state.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I think we need the Lieutenant Governor to concede and compromise a little bit and let something pass through special session. That would be, I think, ideal for everybody, because if we get something signed into law, I think that's when the HEBs and the Krogers and everybody else really feels more comfortable with this category and introducing it to their customers. And so, that's, you know, that's what we're pushing for sure.
Yeah. Then you can pick up your chonklas, your cooler, your beverage, and your pretty much everything.
All HEB, yeah.
Nice. Well, what's next? What's your next frontier?
I think for the THC category as a whole, for the THC beverage category, the next frontier is really the grocery channel. I mean, we're starting to see that turn on. You know, through the Rouses, the Winn-Dixies, of course, Minnesota is fully built out now, and we can use that as an example. But we're starting to see these chains, Piggly Wiggly, and so I think the big C-store chains as well as the grocery chains, that's where we really, that's the next frontier for the category, because that's when we start looking at slotting fees and quarterly promotional activities and temporary price reductions and all these things that people in traditional CPG have to deal with every day. And that'll sort of weed out some of the bad actors as well, because that's difficult. That's, you know, I come from a beverage background and it's tough, and it costs a lot of money to compete and do business in the grocery channel. So I think that's next for the category as a whole. And then in terms of Bayou City, I think we're just going to continue to innovate and put out great products and do line extensions and increase our capacity to meet demand that we're seeing out there for our products. We have a brand called Beach Break that we just changed the format on, and we're releasing new 12-ounce sleeks. The Howdy family is expanding. So we're adding a half sweet tea, half lemonade beverage to the roster, which we're really excited about, both in 12 ounce and 16 ounce tall boys in the High Horse product line. More Howdy Hooch products. So yeah, we're just going to keep doing what we do and keep growing our distribution footprint out there and pushing the category forward.
Sweet. I love it. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me, catching up. Spilling the beans on all of it. We're huge supporters of you guys, and it's awesome to see again where you've come from and where you're going.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you having me. It's always great to see you, Jen.
Yeah, nice. All right, man. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Bye, Jen.
You've been listening to Cannabis Business Confidential by Hybrid Marketing Co. Tune in next time for more expert insights into the evolving cannabis industry.